Well, the first Wednesday of March, it is the 5th, Building Our Future. We talk economic development. We do things in North Mississippi with a lot of great people, and bringing our guests to us today are the good people at Ole Miss and Insight Park. Our guest is Dr. John Green, professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology, but also director for the Center of Population Studies and more. I get you guys in here. And all these long titles that you guys get, and I often wonder, how do you get them on a business card sometimes, you know?
Yeah, we really have to pack them in there and use a lot of abbreviations.
Well, we welcome you to the program and a chance to talk about a couple of things, because you're going to be a big part, and are a big part, of the 2020 census. And at the back end of this, I want to talk about that for the people in North Mississippi that are listening in these 13 counties that we cover with 93.7, but we also want to talk about the center and what you do on campus in a variety of ways, and in its work with economic development too, and the growth of Mississippi and what we do. And let's begin with the Center for Population Studies. And if you can, I know this is, you know, we've only got a certain amount of time. I could ask you to describe your work and what you do, and you could go on for a while, but what exactly happens at the center?
So the Center for Population Studies, you can think about as kind of an umbrella unit within the university, and our overarching focus is on helping leaders at various different levels. It might be nonprofit organizations, could be business leaders, could be folks who are working in planning and development, that type of work, all the way up to, you know, state organizations and agencies, to help those kinds of leaders to better use data about the population, characteristics of the population, trends over time, to inform decision making, especially as it relates to issues of community and economic development and also health.
What are some of the trends maybe that they're looking for and asking you guys about?
So we get a lot of inquiries, data requests, and we'll do workshops and so forth on helping people to understand population change. Especially, you have some communities that are growing very rapidly, other places that are losing population. They're trying to understand those patterns and what are the different factors contributing to them, and how do we track them across time.
I've seen different studies, and I know, you know, there's things that I mentioned, hey, I want to talk about this, but I knew we would kind of branch off and go. Some studies say that Mississippi's population is growing, that we're seeing people move into, and maybe it's just the North Mississippi area, but are those numbers true? Are we seeing people moving into this area?
Certainly we are within particular regions. As a state as a whole, the estimates are for the past couple of years, we've had more people to leave. So we've seen the numbers decrease as a state, but we certainly have pockets of pretty rapid growth in North Mississippi, certainly in the Oxford Lafayette County area and several other counties that we see going up to Memphis and then over to Tupelo. Other places that we see loss, you know. And so that's one of the things we try to help communities to understand, is how do we pick apart those numbers? So it's not just population change, but and the population numbers themselves, but what are the different components of that, whether it's births and deaths, and then also migration, who's moving in and who's moving out.
And I think you probably have to keep in touch, like, people like me that have gone from DeSoto County to Lafayette County. I mean, you know, we're still staying in the state, but right. You move from one place to the next.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the data becomes so important. So we collaborate really closely with the U.S. Census Bureau, but we also are in connection with a variety of different agencies that are providing data that then can be used both at the state level and at the federal level to help us understand those patterns and those nuances. Like you mentioned, it's not just people coming in and out of the state, but moving between counties and even within counties, which is the hardest one to track.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, certainly, just moving. I get that. We're talking a little bit about a lot of things today with John. We're going to get into the center, and he has mentioned, and we have, with the census and the importance for Mississippi in responding to that census in the second half. But let's talk about the Applied Policy and Community Research Lab and expand a little bit on that, if you will.
Sure. So one of the things that we have been trying to do is, how do we be more intentional with our collaboration with kind of community level organizations and nonprofits who are doing projects to try to improve quality of life, economic development, healthcare? How do we learn from what they're trying to do through evaluation and then connect that to broader policy issues so that, you know, thinking about the community level being kind of where innovation happens, how can we help those learnings to then be translated into policy? So we involve faculty and students and our community partners in different places, especially in the Delta, but in communities around the state, to be a part of that process.
Speak of the Delta a little bit, because we do have listeners that are in that area. Why do you reach to the Delta? Is that one of the areas we're losing people?
Yeah, so many of our counties in the Delta region have had pretty serious long-term out-migration. So there's a lot of concern about that. At the same time, it's an asset to the region in terms of when we think about tourism, we think about agriculture, we think about, you know, the importance of those different sectors of the economy. But there are also pretty significant challenges, especially around health. And so we work with a variety of organizations in the Delta, myself and my colleagues, to help them with these types of community projects. How do you use data to inform that work? How do you translate that into kind of bigger learnings that other places can build from? And then how can we actually make that kind of an innovation hub for how we think about confronting these types of challenges?
You mentioned health, and I know, you know, we're lucky where we live, and those that are in, you know, whether it is DeSoto that's in this area and others which have hospitals, that there are places in that Delta that they don't have a place to go.
Yeah, one of the big issues we're concerned with is access to healthcare. And when you think about the challenges of hospital closures, also what does it take to keep other types of healthcare facilities open in the context of out-migration? We partner really closely with community health centers in the Delta and try to help them to use data, use evaluation to inform their work, and other types of community wellness centers. And we have some hospitals in the Delta that are really trying to innovate and develop niche areas that will allow them to be able to sustain.
I guess my eyes opened up a little bit, too, in doing this program over the past few years. And then in just a recent story that I saw within Quitman County, which is not far away, where they don't have an actual grocery store, a grocery chain of they have to go somewhere, even though they're producing for other places,
right,
with agriculture and more, that there's actually a place, you know, maybe within 30 minutes drive of here that they have to drive at least that far or more just to find a place to buy food
at
a decent price along the way.
Yeah, that's a major concern. The issue of community food insecurity, especially when we connect to the kind of health challenges that we mentioned, making sure that people have access to healthy and affordable food in their communities. You mentioned Quitman County. There's a group there, the Marks Project, that is really trying to mobilize to take on several of these issues. And we have several people at the university who are involved, including some folks in our center. My colleague Annie Kafer works really closely with them to try to utilize the kind of power of the faculty and staff and student resources of the university to collaborate with them and to do research and evaluation on the types of programs that they're trying to create through that initiative.
So many things going on with the center that you work with, and I'll get you to expand on one more, and then we'll, for the people that want to learn, because there were so many things that we could have gone list by list and gone down and gotten in, but we need to get to the census also, and so we'll send them so they can look. But you want to talk about the Society and Health Academic Program as well.
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting aspects to our center that's been developing over the last several years. We've developed this interdisciplinary minor for students at the University of Mississippi who are going into health-related professions, whether it's to be doctors, nurses, pharmacists, all the way to people who want to go in and be policy leaders or business leaders, to help them to learn about the kind of ethical underpinnings of doing this type of work, as well as the role of social science research to inform that. And so the students, no matter what their major across the university, can come and be a part of that. And one of the exciting elements of it is that we engage them in working on real-world projects, getting out into the community, whether it's here locally as well as other communities, and have those types of experiences. How do you take kind of an ethical approach to your work? How do you combine that with being informed by data to be a future health leader?
How long has this program been going on?
So we started the kind of development of the program about 5 years ago. We're now well into our third year. It's a competitive minor. Students have to apply for it. We generally have around 25 to 30 students in a cohort each year, but that's growing. as we're getting larger, and they're exposed to classes from across the curriculum.
One of the things that we discuss in this Building Our Future show with most every guest is getting the students or workers in general who grow up here, wherever you may go, but come back and stay in Mississippi, and getting those that you're talking about in this program to graduate and stay, whether if it's North Mississippi, great. If it's back home in Mississippi from where they're from, or let's say they came from Texas and we can keep them here to work, are we finding that success? Is that what we're hoping for in this program and others that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. As we've been involved with trying to address these issues of population change connected to healthcare, one of the things we know is that students, as a part of their preparation for being healthcare leaders, the better experience they have in terms of whether they're working with local clinics or hospitals or different agencies or businesses, that if they have good experiences with that, it's much more attractive. And the reality is that this is one of the areas where we can pay pretty well in Mississippi and offer competitive pay in healthcare. And so their experiences on the ground then really make a difference. And that's one of the things that these types of programs help with.
John, there's so many other things, as we mentioned, with the Center for the People that might want to check that out and find out more about what we've discussed already before we take this break, or the other things that you guys are doing. What's the best way they can find that?
Yeah, they can find us online. We have a website at the university webpage. They can just go on and search for population studies.
All right, we've got the second half of this. He's going to hang around kindly in studio and talk about the 2020 census. We've given you some information. I know people are actually looking to hire to get you to go and be a part of this as well. We've talked about that in jobs in the past, but we're going to talk about the importance of the census coming up next. We'll return with more Building Our Future right after this.